two, go.
All right, we are recording. This is 15 minutes of game. This is a follow-up to last... What was that sound?
That was the phone that I didn't have on the floor fast enough.
Okay.
Take two.
So we're going... No, we're already recording. So we're going 15 minutes of game. I am 6-OK, and 1,500 miles to my left is the Sergeant Johnson to my John 117. Introduce yourself.
I'm Weasel, sir.
You got that one right. Weasel had a problem in the last episode. He didn't understand any of my video game references to characters.
You know what? It's like I said, man. I just give me quick names. Don't give me full titles and
you don't
that. Sonic to my Knuckles. You know, get that.
Wow, that's not a bad one.
Thank you.
I could go with the Luigi to my Mario, or are you Mario to my Luigi?
Or the Wario to your Waluigi.
Ooh.
There you go.
That's interesting.
Bring it home. So, we're talking about community summits.
Yeah, we're following up on the last community summit discussion we had. We're going to talk about, now you've gotten to the community summit, what's proper etiquette once you're there, and what how to get yourself invited back. I definitely want to hit on a few things in terms of etiquette when you're there, because I've had some disasters. I had one event where an individual came representing a site. I won't say the name or the site because I like the site, but the individual they sent basically was clearly trying to get in the video game industry. He spent the entire summit handing out business cards to everyone that, because I had arranged this was my first Medal of Honor summit. It was a 3-day event. I kid you not. It was huge presentations from art directors and AI directors and producers and weapons guys and gameplay and, I mean, everything. I basically exposed them to the level, if not more, of what a typical film junket would be. I mean, these guys got a ton of information. And anybody that came in to present, he handed him his card. And there were a couple sections of the studio they were not supposed to go into, and we just didn't take them over there. A couple times he tried to what appeared to be sneak off into those areas and look around. And frankly, he ended up actually injuring himself at our weapons shoot because he was talking to other individuals from the studio instead of paying attention to what we were all supposed to be doing. And I think it's super important to note that if you're going to be invited to one of these community summits, that you understand why you're there. You are not there to network. You are there to provide coverage of a particular title that they've asked for you to cover. You are not there to introduce yourself to anyone you can in the industry and try and get in. In fact, my response after that summit was, I told the individual that runs the site, I said, I don't want him ever again to come to any of my events. If I invite you guys, send anyone but him. Because it was wholly inappropriate. You know, I didn't get the sense that he was even remotely interested in writing any coverage for the game, and was just looking to get in. I think it's important that you recognize why you're there. You're there to do coverage, and that if you do want to talk to other producers or anything like that for, like, say, follow-up coverage or anything like that, that you recognize that the PR manager or the community manager that invited you is your point of contact, and you can arrange those things through that individual. You shouldn't be trying to go around the outsides.
So that almost kind of raises the question of what the company's expectation of a guest or an attendee at these events is. And in some cases, that probably may need to be spelled out for some people, you know. It's not a party. It's not, it's not just kind of sit around and hang out with your buddies. It's work, you know. It's work on the,
yeah,
the
ultimately
side
it's
to prepare the event. Because there's a lot of behind-the-scenes coordination that most people know nothing about and trying to master it. It's something that is usually planned anywhere from, 3 to 6 months in advance of the actual date of the event. And that depends on what's going on and some of the coordination that goes along with it. I'm for your Fort Bragg one, who knows how long you plan that one. For the
Fort Bragg was literally 10 months in the making.
Yeah, so for some of my Need for Speed ones, I usually can pull it. I got to a point for Need for Speed specifically where I was able to do it within like a month and a half, you know.
Yeah.
But it was always a moving date, especially for the, like, oh my god, there was one event that I was supposed to have the actress in the game for, Iman Shea, but we had to move the event, but we still had her booked. And so we actually had to do something with her time because we could already pay for it and we couldn't lose it, right? But we had to move the event out. And so anyway, there's a lot of coordination for those kind of things that go into it. So yeah, the expectation is you come in, you bust humps, getting as much information about it as you can. You come prepared with questions. You take your pictures, if you know, allowed to take pictures, but just goes to the etiquette thing of like, you know, make sure to ask that kind of thing of what is acceptable or what you can take pictures of or what you can record on the front end. You know, similar to your scenario, I had a situation where a guy just ran around with his mic trying to cover and communicate and get everything on tape. And I'm like, bro, we can't have everything recorded. We have to do a little bit of monitoring for some of these things are not yet announced. Some of these things are unrevealed. Some of these things may not even make it in the final product. So we can't have you recording every single word that comes out of people's mouth. And then we had another situation, and fortunately this wasn't my event, I don't think anyway, where a guy actually was out having a smoke break and just got into a conversation with somebody else. And then whether he intentionally did it or, you know, quote unquote, forgot he had his recorder going, he got a lot of stuff that he was definitely should not have been privy to. Now, part of that was, you know, on the studio's fault for not giving the proper communication of, hey, these are some guests that are here in the studio. Please, if you are going to engage with them, keep it to these topics.
But if you're invited to a studio like that, pulling shenanigans is really not cool. I mean,
he got blacklisted from every event that I ever did after that, and I'm pretty sure every event, period.
I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, digging for stories and investigative type stuff and trying to hit up your contacts to get information. I get that. But when you've been explicitly invited into someone's home as a guest, that's not the time to be doing that stuff.
No, it's not. So, I mean,
And like you said, if you're blacklisted, well, what have you done for yourself? You got a scoop on one game, and guess what? You've just unscooped yourself on every other game that company's going to make.
Yep. And to my knowledge, he's never been back.
That's understandable. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't invite somebody like that back.
No. So you definitely got to do your prep on the front end.
And I was going to say, that's what's important, I think, to note here with regard to all of that is talk to whoever's organizing it. Talk to them ahead of time. Ask them, like, hey, who are we going to be talking with? Can you tell me that? And will there be opportunities for Q&A, like roundtables that I can record? Or can I arrange right now for a one-on-one interview? And I've had people do that where I'm not scheduling one-on-ones, but someone will say, hey, I'd love to do a one-on-one with, you know, the executive producer or something, and I'll make sure that I put time in there so that your podcast or whoever can get a 10-minute segment just talking with him by yourselves. We'll pull him aside for one section or whatever, and while everybody's playing, you can have 10 minutes to talk with him directly and have kind of an exclusive little conversation for your podcast. I think most people are probably willing to do that as long as you plan ahead and don't try and ambush it like some of the people you were talking about.
Well, yeah, and a good CM who's handling that on the front end will provide the group with a kind of an agenda of what they can expect on the first plan. And I got to a point where mine was actually almost templated of like, here's what's going to happen. Here's, you know, here's what the day is going to look like. You know, here's how much time you're going to have to do this, this, and this. You know, if you need something extra, let me know on the front end so I can adjust and accommodate. Because seriously, when you're running those things, you are really running them as to the minute, to the minute, to the minute. And if somebody is late because of taking too long for their shower, it throws off everything.
Yeah.
You know, it really, really does, because especially you're dealing with transportation. You're dealing with lunch.
Transportation is the big one.
All that kind of stuff.
Transportation has to be so timed that, I mean, when you're talking about shuttling anywhere from you know, a small group of four in some cases up to, you know, 45 people back and forth between hotels and studios, you really have to be on the ball with all that.
Oh, you totally do. And any single thing can throw you completely off and mess up the entire thing. So definitely, like, a good CM, throw that stuff out to all your guests coming in so that they will know what to expect. And then you can plan those questions coming back from them accordingly.
Yeah. So that's about half the show. That's 9 minutes. So let's talk about, okay, you've gone to the event. You've behaved appropriately. You've made sure that the CM has your contact information. You've got theirs. You've got your questions. You've done any interviews you're going to do. You go home, and what do you do from here to ensure that that the takeaway from the CM or the PR manager is that they're impressed with you and that they're going to invite you back in the future? Do you have any particular insights there? Because I know I've got some I want to share.
Yeah, that honestly almost feels like the easiest part. You get back, and honestly, if you need to get something back to them probably within, like, you know, it depends on when you actually get back, but I would say 72 hours.
That's assuming you're not embargoed.
Yeah, if you're not embargoed, getting something back to them probably within 72 hours is the ideal. 4 days tops. You really don't want to let it go to like a week, you know, because in a week's time, then they're going to be looking for you to say, where's, you know, we brought that, you out here.
By that
this.
Point, the other 11 or 30 people have already posted.
And yeah, you know, and whatever it is you're going to post is going to end up losing its relevance by that point, yeah, because everybody else is going to get it and everybody else is going to get the jump on it. You know, most of the people that I've worked with and stuff like that have had things up like that night. You know, I'm like in bed sleep and I'm saying, oh, you know, come in for breakfast. Oh, we got a story up for this. I'm like, oh, well, awesome.
So
kudos to you. Can I get some omelets, please?
Two asides from that point, though, from getting something up fast, I think one is embargoes.
Yes.
Sometimes when you go, you can't talk for X number of months or whatever. I know I've done that before. In that case, you want to make sure, though, that you have a prep article up or written that you can run by the CM and the PR manager.
Right.
Like I love to see stuff from people a week ahead of the embargo. Not because I'm going to censor it or anything like that, but I love to know what's coming. You don't have to do that by any means.
It's just a nice thing.
But if you do, also, the other thing is if you have like a 3-month embargo, when the embargo date hits, your coverage better hit.
Right.
Because if you have a 3-month embargo and your coverage doesn't hit for a week later because, oh, you didn't get around to writing it yet, well, then I'm never inviting you again because you had 3 months and you didn't write anything.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't cover, you know, I spent money on you is what happened here. I spent money on you to get you out here and you didn't spend any time in your 3 months on me.
Right. You know, and to say that make sure your coverage is good is to some extent subjective.
Well,
right.
Define good. Are you talking about well written or are you talking about only speaking good of the game? Because I don't believe that you have to only speak good of the game.
I totally agree with that too. I think that if there's something that is amiss about the game, then I think that as a journalist, it is your place to call that out.
But
by
that
same
token,
you
have to find the right way to do it.
You have to find the right way to do it. And you also have to kind of keep in mind that chances are you are looking at early software. You know, you could be looking at alpha, you could be looking at beta. So just make sure to include that as part of the notes. Like, hey, you know what? Found a lot of bugs, but by the same token, this is a beta, so hopefully these things will be worked out by the time the game releases, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's not, you know what? Call the company on it. You know, you saw it. You noted it. Yeah, company should have fixed it one way or the other.
Yeah, and
means.
I mean, I've always tried with my events, if something doesn't go right, I try to get it resolved at the summit and get an answer for people. And then if it still doesn't go right by the time we launch, a lot of times people ask, hey, what happened with this? And you know, anybody who's worth their weight should be able to give you an answer like, okay, yeah, we did want to do that, but it didn't work out, and here's why. And here's a post from our lead designer on why that didn't actually happen. Sorry about that, you know?
Right.
So there's the timing issue of the embargoes, and then there's another issue of I forgot what my other issue was. So the other one I was going to talk about is if you're doing elaborate coverage. I designed the Medal of Honor first summit around 6 or 8 one-hour presentations from various disciplines throughout the game.
Right.
Essentially, there was, I mean, the coverage I got out of the event was pretty good, but it wasn't very in-depth. So one thing I did later as a community manager is I took our art director's presentation and I turned it into 4 blog posts on our official blog from that one presentation. And there's no reason that any visiting community site couldn't have done the same.
Right.
And I did that, in fact, when I was at Blue Tights, and you and Jim invited me down to look at the Superman Returns game.
I remember that, yeah.
You guys were kind enough to invite Blue Tights down early. We were the first. It was just us. And we got to look at the game. And by we, I mean me. I mean, I was really impressed, actually, by that, because it was a weekend. Like, your EP and designers and people came in on the weekend to accommodate me, one guy, to show me the whole game and show me all the stuff about it. But what I started doing there was I broke that one-day trip into like 6 articles. Like, I did an entire article just on the design of Metropolis and on the model that was built and on the care and time that went into it and the sections and all that and just the city alone, never mind the rest of the game. And so my plan originally was to take those 6 articles and post like one every 3 weeks or every 2 weeks or something, but it was going to take a one-day event and turn it into essentially, you know, a month and a half to 2 months worth of coverage for the game.
Right.
Now, ultimately, in that time frame, I was actually hired by EA, so I didn't publish the rest of my articles because I felt it was a conflict of interest. But that was the original plan. And some people did that with my Medal of Honor Summit. They were able to turn a lot of information into a few articles. And I personally design my summits that way. I try to give people a wealth of information. Now, what you do with it is yours. If you want to record several recordings and Q&As and turn it into four special podcast episodes, I'm going to love you forever because I just got four episodes of your show about my game. I'm going to adore you.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be podcasts. I mean, if it's just articles and you do something like that, like, hey, here's an article about the art direction of the game. Here's an article about the game design. Here's an article about whatever, you know, the hardcore competitiveness of the game, whatever it is. I think if you're smart and you use the content, and usually there's a lot of content you get at these things, and if you're smart and you use that content appropriately, and then make sure you follow up with all of that. Every time you publish an article out of one of these, send the email back to the community manager or the PR manager and say, hey, I wanted to thank you again for having us out. Here's our coverage. And if you are doing like the whole, you know, here's one and I'm going to do six other future articles, make sure they know that. Make sure you say, hey, here's our first article. There was so much stuff we decided to break it out into multiple articles. And here's our kind of tentative schedule for when we're going to publish. And I think you'll get a significantly greater response from people if you're doing something like that, and they're going to be much more inclined to get you back because, frankly, they know, okay, if I spend $1,000 or $1,500 or $2,000 on this guy, you know what? I'm going to get some really thorough coverage.
Right.
You know, you don't have to kiss the game's butt, but to know that you're willing to put in the time in return and write something thorough, and they, all these people on the dev team and whatnot have taken the time to sit down and spend a lot of really one-on-one time with you, basically going really in depth on the things that a lot of people don't get access to. So to have that information all used in a valuable way, I think is valuable for them. And they'll, you know, anybody that I would know would invite you right back to the next event as soon as they could.
And just to kind of piggyback on that, one of the other thoughts I want to throw out is that follow up is crucial, right?
Absolutely.
You know,
it's everything.
If as a community manager, you're doing your job right, and as a attendee, you're doing your job right, not only are you just covering a game or a project or whatever, you're establishing a relationship and you're establishing rapport with that person.
Yes.
So by that same token, follow up. When the piece is done, it could be a month, 2 months. There is absolutely no harm or foul if you just drop an email to that person and say, hey, just want to check in with you, make sure, you know, see how things are going. Is there anything that we can do to support you? You know, this is from the site to the company. Is there anything that we can do to support you, or is there any other projects that you're working on that we could cover for you? So,
yeah.
You know, by doing that, you're still remaining relevant. You're still remaining top of mind. You're still in there on their radar.
Yep.
Right. And I loved when people did that. You know, it sucked when I didn't have anything, but it made me feel like, hey, you know what? I'm important enough to them that they still want to do this. And this is a good mutual relationship that both of us can benefit from.
But you know what? When people have done that for me, I recommend them to other CMs. You know,
and I've done that too. Totally.
I've told people, hey, this is someone you want to invite to your events, and you know, this guy will really take care of you in terms of writing a lot of coverage, and you will get your money's worth and your time's worth out of this. So I mean, maintaining a relationship with one CM, I mean, I think you guys have probably gotten the drift by now. We all kind of know each other.
Yep. And we all talk. Trust us.
God, that sounds
about
ominous.
You.
That sounds ominous. No, but we do all know each other, and so if, and especially, I mean, I'm in the position where, you know, I'm in a unique position by building the CM list. I've really kind of gotten to know a lot of CMs in the gaming industry, and I will absolutely recommend people to other CMs, you know, whether they're at my company or not, and say, hey, here's a person I think you would really like for coverage, or this guy covers FPS stuff really well, check him out, you know, you want to get this guy. And I've done that from time to time, and so and I know I'm not the only one who does it, you know. So
no, it's totally effective. I mean, and it's a great tool, and honestly, it helps everyone. At the end of the day, it raises everybody up. You know, from a gaming site perspective, it gets you a broader reach into an area you may not have had a reach into before.
Yep.
From an industry side, it's giving some exposure for something and continuing to establish those relationships. So it works out for everybody.
So I think that's kind of that on this one. I think there's a lot of meat in there that will help you guys get do well at a summit and then really follow up on it. I hope there is anyway. Let us know. I think community call out this week is me, right?
It is on you, my friend.
So I'm going to go with xboxpulse.com. This is a site that I wrote about on my blog like months ago, earlier in the summer, but it's a site that I really like. I don't know how much they update anymore. of their own content, but that doesn't matter because what Xbox Pulse is an aggregator of hundreds, I think. I would go with hundreds, probably well over 100 major Xbox community sites. So if you go there, it's a dashboard basically, and there's all these little RSS feed windows of all the biggest Xbox gaming community sites you could ever want. And you see their top 5 or 10 or whatever headlines, and you can close out the ones you don't want or whatever, and basically keep your own little dashboard of community news coming from all of the community sites at once. And it's a really cool tool. I think there's a lot more they can do with it. Ace Attorney on Twitter is the guy that kind of started this whole thing, and he's had some help with some developers and stuff, but he's a really cool guy, and I think he really cares about sort of this thing. And I know I don't think he's quite had the resources to take it kind of to that super extra level, but I think it's a site that has a lot of great value in its current form, and I think with the right support from the community, it could really take off and be something pretty exceptional. It could, you know, essentially be the only Xbox site you ever need. But check it out if you're an Xbox fanboy, which I certainly am. So I think that's my call out for this week. Anything else you want to say before I wrap up?
No, man. What really constitutes a fanboy these days? I mean,
I know. You know what? It's a silly term. Forget I said it. I'm a fan of the 360, and I like stamps, so we'll go with that, okay?
All right, deal.
Because I agree with you, and I don't want to get into another 20-minute debate over it. So anyway, that's it for this week's show. You can always hit us up on email, 15minutesofgame, that is 15minutesofgame, @gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, 15minutesofgame, 15minutesofgame, or on facebook.com/15minutesofgame. As always, let us know what you think. Check out our daily posts. And if you have any follow-up questions to any of this Community Summit stuff, by all means, shoot us a message. We will be happy to answer them. Hopefully this was all useful, these two back-to-back episodes.
Wait, they don't know it's back-to-back.
Well, not back-to-back, but, you know, part one and
back,
part two.
Back-to-back. Sentence. Yeah, got it.
I wish I could quit you.
Dude, we should do a part three.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe. We'll talk about it. All right, we're already over, so you guys have a good night or day or whenever you're listening to this, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers.